This is Dating My Best Friend Podcast.
Best friend.
Where the art of friendship leads the relationship.
Mm.
We chat about love.
This.
Life.
That.
Trials, triumphs, and practically everything in between.
The real.
We're just two souls trying to figure things out. So join your host,
Barry, a.k.a. Coach Coop.
And yours truly, Shantini.
Mm.
And let's have a
bash.
Bash.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of
Dating My Best Friend Podcast. Who are you?
I am. Well, no, you should go first.
I should go first.
B, Barry.
You're right. I always forget that.
Shantini.
Oh, I'm jumping in before you
actually do it.
So
go.
I'm Barry, aka Coach Coop. I'm a transformational life coach, educator. I support young men of color in all realms, just teaching them how to be their best selves. I just started a new organization, the Bro Experience Foundation. I'm super excited about that. But yeah, that's who I am.
And I am Shantini. I am a licensed esthetician, skincare specialist, specifically specializing in skin of color here in New York City. I'm a beauty empowerment coach, and I completely preach beauty from the inside out today and every day so that you can put your best face forward.
Nice, nice. And you guys can see my face because my face always popping because she's always doing her damn thing with it. So, man, that's indeed. Who we are.
Indeed, indeed.
We got a lot going on, baby. You know,
it's Christmas tree's up. Yes, we put our first Christmas tree up together. And it was good. It's actually still up, so that's a good
everything.
Thing. You did not do
I did everything. I'm going to stick to that.
You actually just, you know, you did. I can't even say you put the tree on top of the car when we got it. Because that was
I did put the tree on top of the car, but
you
I definitely
took
the tree.
You took it down.
Yeah. If you watch the video on our Instagram.
Yes, I hope you guys
saw
that.
You will see the bloopers and all that good
yes,
stuff.
Yes, that was really fun. And just really introducing the holiday spirit into the house. I think this is really the first time we've done it. And with Beanie on the way, that was something that we really wanted
absolutely.
To be intentional about. So thanks, Beanie, for, you know, whipping us into shape already.
And the tree looks rather spiffy. You did a good job.
Thank you. You know, I had my ornaments from way back when. It was all individually wrapped, y'all. Like, I don't know who I was.
She bought the Christmas ornaments in a casket, like this big case. And I was just like, what the hell is this?
But it was well worth it because they look fabulous. He's why is this ornament so heavy? Yeah. I was like, it's quality.
She had some white stuff.
Oh, gosh.
White ornaments. And I was just like, listen, I love my white people, but they won't be up in this house.
Oh, my God.
Hanging around, you know. So
it was a silhouette. It was like a wooden.
It was scary.
Silhouette. He's talking about, is it going to talk to me at night?
Yes, I was just playing
like, oh, my gosh.
And then we had the Noel situation.
Oh, geez. Jesus, yes. Y'all need to watch. We're not even going into that. Y'all need to watch the clip of both him and Chase asking who Noel was. And I'm just like, really, though? Oh, my God. I can't believe we waited this long to start bringing in the Christmas edition. Because clearly they have been missing a whole part of life.
That was hilarious.
That was hilarious. But yeah, it's been a year. 2020 is crazy. But here we are. And I mean, what are we doing today?
You tell me what we're talking about.
We are talking about our latest topic, I declare, intention and goal setting for the new year.
And absolutely. What other time than the end of the year to start thinking about next year?
Yes, yes. So we got somebody super amazing, somebody who we both dearly respect
and love
and she has impacted thousands upon thousands of people when it comes to development, personal development, and creating a win-win world, so they say.
Win-win world, listen.
Absolutely. So let's bring in Tamara Lynn.
Tamara, love and light, sis. Welcome.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. Thank you for creating the space. I'm honored that you asked me to do it. You know, I love both of you separately. I love both of you together. So,
great. We're excited to have you. This is such an honor to share the space and time with you, even if it's virtually. So,
I got to put a plug in though before we get into these good questions. You know, Tamara has and I brought you up in our last show, talking about tools and how to use tools around, you know, declaring and distinctions and things like that. And I know we're going to get into it, but I just want to put this out there because it's almost is dope how the last show we talked about, like, creating chaos in your relationship. And then, you know, we had the tools to repair and, you know, recommit to certain things. And if it had not been for you and the platform that you have, we would have probably been in a world of trouble. Well, I would have been in a world of trouble.
He would have been in a world of trouble. Right. I'd have been like, you stay over there with your trouble.
Absolutely.
But grateful for definitely the tools that we have learned through our interaction with you. And we're grateful. It's kind of a full circle moment to have you here right now.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. So tell us about yourself. Tell us, you know, the work that you do, the company that you do it for and with and you're a part of.
So I am a transformational coach and facilitator, and I facilitate experiential learning workshops that support people in uncovering things that they don't know about themselves to get closer to the life that they dream about and to achieve the life that they dream about through, I work with Momentum Education.
So Momentum Shout out to the 444s.
Momentum has been around for... This is our 17th year.
Wow.
And I always like to uplift the founder of Momentum, who a powerful Black woman, right? Robin Diane Lynn, and also happens to be my husband's mother.
Nice. Right?
Nice. And my husband is now the executive director, and she founded this company to, I think, create healing in communities to support people in recognizing that they matter.
Yes.
And they definitely do.
They definitely do.
It's been amazing.
Yes.
I
feel like I really tapped into the I Matter through the Momentum Education Network. And so I completely second and third and, you know, highlight that to the 10th power.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The experience has been amazing. And I feel like anytime people ask us when we are dwelling in spaces or we having friends over and they be like, oh, you guys are so good. Like, I think we naturally had a great relationship, but the tools that came from the experience through Momentum, ones that we loved and the ones that we didn't love that really held the mirror up for us is still tools that we actually commit to using every single day.
All
so
the time.
Not a shameless plug, but a plug. Make sure you reach out to Momentum's, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So we are approaching 2021, right? We're approaching the new year. And, you know, for a lot of people, as they're reflecting on their year in review, thinking about what 2020 has been and what 2020 is going to be, I just wanted to kind of have you share with our listeners, like, how important is that personal development piece in regards to your reflection of approaching 2021?
You know, I think 2020, acknowledging that it has been an extremely challenging year. Mm-hmm. I think that just from personal experience, having the tools of personal development to support me through the year I'm so incredibly grateful that I was able to put those tools into practice this year in a way that I never have before to support me in choosing a different way at looking at the challenges that have happened. Mm-hmm. And so I think personal development, although it's not a need, everyone deserves it, right? Everyone deserves to have it, and everyone deserves to be able to have tools at their disposal, right, that they can use in challenging times and that they can use when things are going really well as well, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you're using them when they're going well, that when the challenges come up, you're really able to put them into practice.
Yeah.
Very true. Right?
Yeah. So I think, you know, whatever form of personal development you have, right, or that you have access to, and I'm very aware that not everyone has access to personal development. And I think that it's important to acknowledge that and to also, you know, my dream is that everyone has access to these tools, right? So, but whatever they are, whether it's therapy, or a workshop or a meditation, because there are so many tools that are available to a wide range of people, right, that they can access through the internet, or they can access reading, right, that they, but having something, I think, is really supportive.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's funny because when you talk about personal development, and we kind of lift this up a little earlier, having like those tools, I think that's like the difference maker. Sometimes people go through certain areas, or they get certain support, and they hear what's happening, but they don't necessarily walk away with the tools that can help them in the good and when the not so good. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like brings us to the next question. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between a resolution and a declaration, declaring? What's the difference?
Let us know.
Please put the stamp on it. And I know a lot of times you lead with grace, but please put a stamp on the difference, because there was something that we went through that really pushed us, mm-hmm. right? In some of the workshops in Momentum, where a lot of times people was like just trying to say stuff out loud, but that challenge that, and the experience where you had to say what you mean, mm-hmm. Was, I feel like, it's something that we actually hold to. Yeah. And I think it's in, well, I guess what you're going to, hopefully it's in what you're going to answer.
Well, it's really interesting because it's the end of the year. So, you know, everyone is talking about resolutions, right? Yeah. And declarations and all this stuff. What I will say is that there's, you know, there shouldn't be a specific time in your life where you're making a promise. Mm. Yourself and other people. It shouldn't be because it's like the end of the year or the beginning of the year or a birthday or a holiday, right? There shouldn't be like a special time. Mm. These things can actually be made at any time.
I love that.
Right. And so I think, you know, I think that a resolution can be held as a declaration, actually, right? So you can hold a resolution as a declaration as long as you look at it as you're giving your word to something, right? So I'm inside of a declaration or a resolution, whatever you choose to call it, you're making a promise. So you're making a promise to yourself and you're making a promise to others. Mm-hmm. And when you break that promise, you're essentially breaking your word.
Got you.
And your integrity is at stake in that moment. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think when you're making a declaration, you're making it with the belief that it can happen and acting as though it has already happened. Mm. So much of the time we wait for the declaration to happen in order to have the experience of it happening. Right. And I think that, you know, the way that we talk about declarations at Momentum is that you make the declaration without agreement from anyone. Mm. And so you're not waiting for permission. Mm. You're not waiting for anyone to agree, right? And you're not trying to like, and it's unreasonable. You're not trying to reason yourself into it.
Oh, right? Wow.
I can do it because of this, or I can't do it because of this, right? And I'm trying to figure out how. It actually requires a large amount of trust to be able to make a declaration and believe that it can happen.
And that's some news, because I think
I feel like we might need to revisit approach to declaration. I'm like, I thought I was doing good, but I'm like,
absolutely.
That definitely checked me, because I'm just like, wait, I need to. I think the power of the reasoning and the rationale, trying to like rationalize like why you can have this thing, has definitely still been kind of a part of the loop. But like, this is definitely interesting in terms of being able to shift that and just say it, declare it, even if it is, I guess, unfathomable, but walking in the trust, the truth that it could actually manifest itself. That is.
Because to your very point, babe, I haven't been doing the declarations right. Ooh, you know, I feel like I say that I'm going to do things, but then it has to have this plan. It has to have this like agreement with something or someone else, where it's like, no, I'm going to. And I feel like that's probably where the resistance came from Or yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, you just.
I know. I'm like.
You just laid it out.
I wasn't expecting
and
to
look
get.
Look at how much you all have already created, declaring the way that you have.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right, because you all have declared the way that your relationship looks.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you all have declared the way that your family looks. Mm-hmm. Right, and creating new members of your family. You've declared business together. You've declared businesses separately. Yeah. Right. So think about, and that you've done through reasoning through all of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So think about what you could create.
Wow.
When you let go of all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. That just gave me goosebumps. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I can't stop smiling.
Come on now. Listen, bring Tamara on for our guest.
Absolutely.
So drop the bomb on us. And now I'm like, okay, level up.
Listen,
Shanty.
People, and y'all get this work for free. So y'all better sign up, because.
Wow.
If you think that was powerful, I mean, whoa, like that's
okay. Chin check.
Yeah, we got some work 2021 happening. Yeah. That's amazing.
That
so
was powerful.
You know,
definitely. It just brings me to like the next thought of what that takes, mm-hmm. right? Because it takes a certain type of person to even get to that frame of thought where you're like, I'm gonna say it. I don't need permission. I don't need an okay from myself. I'm just going to go because this is the vision I have and I'm going to go for it. So with that said, like, what would you say are like the three character traits that people should prioritize, whether it's through, you know, momentum education or, you know, just personal development in general, that they should be prioritizing working on in this moment, regardless of what stage, what level of access they have, things like that.
Right. I think that the first thing, like the foundation for everything, is making sure that you're taking care of all of your basic needs. In really intentional ways, right? Because are you, and this may sound really simple, but I find that many people never have all of these things at the same time, right? So getting enough sleep, eating properly, taking care of your body, right? Drinking water, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone's dehydrated.
Yes. Drinking water.
Right, drinking water. Right. Even like something as simple as like taking an actual lunch break, or taking it when you're working, or taking a food break when you're working and not working while you eat. So that's really supportive, right? Using the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right. When like not holding it because you're working on something, right? And like going to the bathroom. Like those are all like basic self-care things that I think contribute to your mental, emotional, and spiritual health.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think that, and it's something that I think we take for granted, especially because we have access to an abundance of certain things, right? And we have shelters. So it feels like all of our basic needs are being met, but which they are, right? In like a really, you know, from a place of privilege, they are being met, but, you know, are we actually taking care of those things? Because if you're not sleeping well, right, then your thought processes are off, then your emotions are out of whack, right? You're cranky. You're cranky with your partner. You're cranky with the people, right?
Like, that happened last night.
Right.
She threw me out the bed.
I did not throw you out the bed. You left because you misinterpreted.
She threw me out the bed, Tamara.
My need to sleep.
She hasn't been sleeping well, and she just snapped. She snapped.
I did not snap. It was just you misinterpreted. So he's really mischievous for some reason.
Yep.
At night. And I'm like, dude, I barely get enough sleep as it is. So when I'm sleeping, do not wake me up, because I'm probably going to wake up in the next 20 minutes anyway. Like, don't come into the bed, like, slowly, quietly. Don't touch. You like, all these things.
I'm like two and some change. There's nothing about me quiet.
Yeah.
So he comes in the bed, and I'm just like, he's like, babe. And he starts talking, and I'm just like, Yeah, she I'm threw still me trying out. To sleep. Like, just let's not. He's like, oh, forget it.
But I, now I understand. I understand that. I get it. I get it.
Sleep. I need, yes, I need to yes,
you
need
oxygen. You got the oxygen during the day. I got it.
A mess. We digress.
Yeah, absolutely. I got up and left, too. I was like, I'm going to give her this space. She can have the whole bed tonight.
I think crankiness from being hungry and tired and dehydrated caused a lot of arguments.
It does. It does.
Right? And people don't check in. Like, yeah. Robinson and I check in with each other when we're getting.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Did you eat?
Right. Yeah. We do the same thing. That's oh, so man. True. We definitely so check. True. I'd be like, yo, you need something to eat. You good?
Right.
So true.
Oh, man, that is funny.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
No, let's go to the next. We go to the next one.
Go to the next question.
You got so much coming up for me. So it's like 2020. The world is what it is. It's been on a roller coaster emotionally, politically, all of these different things. I mean, the pandemic and, you know, people are going to want to reset and really bring their best, right, to 2021. And, you know, not all things go as what we kind of like lay it out to be. So I guess the next question is for people who start out 2020 strong, and things don't really go the way they planned it, what advice would you give them to, I guess, reset and stay committed to what they declare?
Yeah, I think it's, so I think when things don't work out, period, right, or don't work out the way that we planned, right, I think the first thing is to, one, allow yourself to have whatever feelings you have about it. Right. So I think that's important to acknowledge what's coming up for you, to acknowledge whatever feelings are coming up for you. Right. And look to react and not respond. Right. I mean, opposite. Look to respond and not react. Right. Look to respond and not react. So, and then really a response would look like, okay, what worked and what didn't work? Because inside of every commitment that you make, even if it didn't break, even if it didn't work out, there are still things that worked about it. Right? And being able to intentionally look at the things that worked so that you can keep doing those things and then intentionally look at the things that didn't work, right? And look at how you can shift those things, I think really makes the difference, right? When things don't work out the way that you plan. Right. Then also look at, you know, who were you in the matter? Right. So like really reflecting on that, because it's very easy to look at the circumstances and blame the circumstances, or look at the person or look at another person and blame another person. But really looking at like, who was I in the matter and how can I take responsibility for the things that didn't work from my end, right? And then shift to those parts of myself as well.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Because what I'm hearing is like, there's still so much level, like a high level of accountability and responsibility that you're taking for yourself, your actions, even within, you know, the level of uncertainty and things like that that are going to happen. So just being able kind of gives you a sense of, I'm going to use the word control, even though I feel like that's not the right word. Maybe it's responsibility, right? Like a level of responsibility and ownership for, you know, who you are in that moment, so that you can pivot, you can turn. And I think another thing that you said too that was interesting was just acknowledging the feeling behind it. Because a lot of times you're like, oh, just move on or figure it out, things like that. And we don't hold space for just like sitting in the moment, not too long, but sitting in it to really just understand what you're feeling and then doing the assessment of what worked, what didn't, are definitely really.
Yeah, I think it also, to your point, babe, I think it also forces people to be measured, right? And think about their impact when you are able to like stop, reflect. The circumstance is the circumstance, but you can create what it is that you want to create, and it still allows you to have the power in the situations Yeah, absolutely, man.
I'm like, look, we.
I don't know.
Do
I just feel like my whole situation is just coming down. I didn't expect for all this to start coming up, but like, that's amazing.
And I'm just like, okay, we're gonna take approach.
Also, like, still give yourself permission to dream in that space because I think it's so easy when things don't work out to say, "Hey, like, this didn't work out. Like, maybe I should lessen the commitment." Right. Maybe I should shrink the goal because I can't achieve it. Mm. Right. Opposed to like this is like connecting to the vision and connecting to why it was important in the first place, connecting to the impact, connecting to all the people that it will impact. Mm. Right. And connecting to like all of the things that will be created.
Yeah.
Right. And really allowing yourself to be in that space. Mm. Because it can be disheartening to, you know, have things not work out.
Absolutely.
Right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No, I know. It's so crazy because I'm thinking about, for me, like, especially during the pandemic, doing skincare, facials, a very high, like, human contact work. Yeah. Pivoting was really challenging in the beginning. And I was, like, sad and, like, you know. And then, you know, you were able to transition everything really successfully to Zoom. So I'm just like, oh, he's still working. And, like, work is important to me. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And... I didn't approach it that way. I didn't think about, you know, what was working, what was in, because I felt like I got stuck for a little while in that. I mean, I did kind of finally pull myself out and try to think about some unique ways, like to go online and things like that. And then also to give myself grace, because I was just like, well, I was expecting this big thing to happen, but I've been in business for X amount of time. Mm-hmm. And so, like, these are the things that actually did work, even though... you know, for 6 or so months of that time, I wasn't physically, you know, being able to support people in their, you know, skincare routine. We switched to virtual. So just really highlighting the things that definitely worked is going to help my approach to my year in review. Because I was like, oh, no, it was a year.
Celebrate everything that worked. And it's also okay to be in your feelings and be like, I'm going to wrap myself in a blanket and have snacks and watch a terrible show on Netflix. And then you pick your, and then, you know, you do that for a little bit, you acknowledge it, and then you get up, right?
You get up and keep moving. Yeah. It's funny that you say that because, like, planning out this organization thing, I've been dealing with a lot of anxiety because it's big, right? And something that you said, and it goes back to the points that Shantini was making, like, being okay with saying, okay, well, maybe I need to, like, jog instead of sprinting. Because there's still a goal, right, in mind, and being conscious that I could create what I want as long as I continue to go is amazing. Because I did, you know, experience a little vulnerability earlier today talking to my friend Donald, and we kind of like just was going through the layers of like what it means to be an organizational leader, and I just instantly felt all of this weight that I needed to be this person now. And he was like, nah, bro, just take it one brick at a time. And hearing you say that just really confirmed that it's okay, because as long as you keep building, that's the most important part, because you have control.
Yeah. Whew. And you're also, like, when I think about it, you're living the legacy that you're building.
Mm.
Right? So if you're living the legacy that you're building, a legacy doesn't get built in...
Yes.
24 hours or a week. It takes time, right? And, you know, I think about all of these very exalted figures in human history and how very human they were, right? And we never talk about their humanity, and I think it would be so supportive. And when I'm saying humanity, I mean, we never talk about the things that didn't work about their life, shine the light.
Yeah.
Everything that did, but there was so much that didn't work, right? About who they were and what they did, but because of the things that didn't work and they kept going,
kept going.
Why we're talking about all of these things that they created.
Wow. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Keep going.
Absolutely. So you're living your legacy.
Living your legacy.
You know that's a dropper right there.
I'm like, woo, I like that.
That's the zinger.
So, you know, I would say just because as we're kind of wrapping up this portion, I want you to just share kind of like with all the things that you were talking about, if you were to give one or two takeaways to our listeners today that you want them to really just hold on to as they're approaching their year in review and heading into the new year, what would it be that you would share with them?
That, you know, everyone matters. Right? Everyone matters. And, you know, I think that when things are, when we're going through a global, like something that is so global and challenging, and that it can be hard to see how you as an individual matter in the world, right? And so there won't ever be anyone else like you again on this planet, right? And there has never been anyone like you, and there is no one like you now. And so your voice is unique and is needed, right? And you know, we're not all going to be on the front lines of service, right? But who you are and who you are as a contribution is important to the people in your life, right? And really remember that you have something to contribute to every single person that you come across, right? And they have something to contribute to you. Right. And we're meant to, however we're meant to take care of each other, right? Allow ourselves to take care of each other, right? To take care of yourself, to take care of each other, to, and then allow others to take care, of you.
I needed that. Wow.
You like Thank the you. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Thank you. I'm like, I'm saying like, yes.
I've had a lot of great mentors.
Wow. Thank you.
It's like the Jedi Force. Like, I just feel different.
I know. I'm
and
like,
I'm trying to mask it.
I didn't even know I needed this, but I needed it.
We're supposed to be the host.
And I'm like, thank you. Like, keep coming. Tell like me I'm what I need to session. Take away. I'm literally like, yes, I matter. You know, it. Wow. We don't say that. We don't say that enough.
Absolutely.
We don't say it enough.
I think you can easily get wrapped up in the providing to the world.
Yeah.
That you think that you're taking care of yourself, or you are replenishing, but it's not until you actually hear it, right?
Yeah. Till you're actually replenished.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I have been replenished.
Well, something that my husband Robinson, he says all the time is that, you know, he says that self-care, you know, we talk about self-care so much, and it's like, how am I going to take care of myself, right? How am I going to, right? What am I going to do today to take care of myself? But sometimes self-care is allowing others to take care of you. Right? And that has shifted my life in a really big way, right? So you're not, even when we're taking care of ourselves, we're not doing it alone. And part of mattering is allowing others to take care of you.
So Tamara, Lynn, we want to thank you for being on. But before you go, just tell people how they can find you, how they can find the organization and everything.
So it's www.momentumeducation.com. We're on Instagram at Momentum Education. And we're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/MoEducation, I believe. And we're doing all of our workshops virtually currently, so you can access them from anywhere in the world. And we have people from many different countries participating. So it's been a really beautiful experience to see people from all over the world participating in our trainings.
That is nice, awesome. Nice. Tap in, y'all. Look, you matter.
You matter. That wasn't even a drop. That was like a whisper.
Okay.
So, Tamara, we thank you, sis.
Thank you.
Thank you for filling my cup, girl. I didn't even know I needed it, but thank you for filling. I really appreciate it.
It's been amazing. Really do. So enjoy your day, T.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you on Clubhouse.
We should host the room in Clubhouse together.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Do it.
Absolutely. All right, sis, enjoy your day.
Bye, Tamara. Thank you so much. Love you, sis. Bye.
Later. Wow. That was amazing.
So powerful.
That was amazing. We might as well just keep this thing going.
Keep it rolling. Listen, we talked about personal development and we mattering, and no matter what, how big those visions, goals, and dreams are, that you can declare it, you can shift as needed, and take inventory on what's going on. and just be. Absolutely. Just be great.
Absolutely.
You know? Be great. And so we're just going to flow into the next portion because, you know, a lot of times as we're talking about the new year, we talk about the inner self and the mind, which we already covered. But next, you know, we always talk about the outer body. Yeah, you absolutely. Know, the outer body experience. You know,
I know I need the outer body help. My outer body don't be, whoa, man, I'm going crazy with this outer body experience.
Listen.
So we got Joe. I call it JoJo. I call
Hello.
It JoJo.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes, we can hear you. Awesome. This is my gal, our gal, right?
Absolutely.
Like, she is my fitness guru, helping me, you know, stay. Everybody that's complimented how good I look during this pregnancy and that I'm all belly. You know, Project Shed has been a contributor
absolutely
to this figure.
Project Shed, shameless plug, has been giving me free tips
that
every
he takes
time.
Sometimes
I don't take the tips. Joanna be ready to curse me out, but she just gives me grace. And she also, when y'all seen those beautiful pictures in the beautiful Aruba, it was
yes.
because of Joanna and yes. her. And my guy, her guy, Ben, Benjamin, they allowed us to go out with them to Aruba yes. and have such an amazing time.
Yes, we had a wonderful time in yes. Aruba, so thank you for that. And welcome, right. Joanna. Can
She's
you hear
freezing.
Us?
Yes, I can go. Hear you. I'm just okay. taking up the volume a little.
Okay. Right,
taking cool. up the volume.
No problem.
Ben's right here with me.
What's up,
Hi,
Ben?
Working.
What's
Hi,
going
Ben.
On, brother?
Yes to all the branding. I'm loving all the branding.
Oh, yes.
Project. I didn't know you had sweatshirts.
Yeah, they look nice.
I'm a sweatshirt. Yes, the sign. Come
oh,
on
yeah,
now.
Oh, yeah, they're so comfortable.
I
you
love
can wear
it.
Them at home. Yes, yes, yes. They're cropped, too, but, like, cropped enough where it kind of covers enough of your stomach.
Okay,
stomach.
See?
Yeah,
this
yeah,
is,
absolutely.
This is a good fitness.
I seen the sweaters.
Thinks about it.
I seen the sweaters, but I'm like, man, she got crop tops, but I can't wear those.
You can wear a crop top, babe. I think
like,
that might be hot.
I'm gonna look like baby Huey. I wear a crop top sweater. I'm gonna look like baby
look,
Huey.
Joanna, just send a crop top over here. We gonna make it work.
So let's get into this.
Yes.
So Joanna, since yes. we kind of like jumped into it. Thank
What'd
you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh,
yeah, no,
yes.
no, of
Thank
course,
you
of course.
Here.
So you are an expert in your field, and we want you to just tell us or tell our listeners, you know, just a little bit more about yourself and your company.
So my name is Joanna. I am the owner and founder of Project Shed
yeah.
LLC, and I always want to be clear, and I'm being intentional about explaining what shed means. Shed means stronger, healthier, empowered, and driven. It's not just about shedding weight, which is the first association people make with Project Shed. I am a group fitness instructor and a personal trainer. I've been at this for, I've been in the fitness space for over 15 years, but I've actually started working with helping to transform people's lives for about the last 4.
Wow. Yes. That's amazing.
And my specialty is strength training.
Strength training. Listen, if y'all follow her on and start following her on Instagram and you see what this girl can lift, you'll be like, that's the power of a woman.
Her classes be intense too.
I know. Barry's always running from the classes like, no, babe, I'm going to. I'm like, come here and lift this thing.
I got a story. So we were. Joanna went when the world was open. Joanna would do these amazing classes with the TRX rope, and every time I went into that class and I seen them TRX ropes, I would cringe. But I will say, I used to, because you know I got little legs, little arms, you know, so the TRX rope didn't really work for me. And Joanna would always come and help me. I was like, man, I feel like a kid.
Listen, but she's there for support.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Important. So, yes.
That's the thing I love about TRX, because it's just you and your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's everything. It shows you everything that you can do and what you need to work towards.
I love
it's
it.
It's just really plain and open.
Yeah, absolutely. And it showed me what I couldn't do with my body.
Just what you need to work on.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, the language is important.
You're right.
So, and speaking of language, as we're kind of heading into the new year, right?
Yeah.
Fitness goals are I want to say statistically probably like number one on the list that people make when they're heading into the new year. So I just wanted you to talk a little bit about your approach to how you share with your clients and the people that you know or inquire about fitness, about how to approach the new year. Because a lot of some people talk about like declarations versus resolutions. So I just wanted you to speak a little bit on that in regards to tackling fitness goals.
So the first thing I would say is you don't need to wait for the new year, right? So like every morning that we get up and our eyes are open is a new year, right? Mm. It's a new year to embark on those declarations and your resolutions, right? You don't have to wait until the clock strikes 12:01 on January 1 to sort of make a verbal declaration or a verbal statement about what you want to do or commit through that resolution, like that showing that will. You can start tomorrow, right? What I would say though, those two things have their place in starting your fitness journey. The number one thing that you need to think about is action, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can do all the declarations and all the resolutions that you like, if you don't take that step to actually act, then nothing is going to change, right? There is this, I never get it right. It's like an Irish saying that goes, you don't get a plow to move by thinking about the plow moving, right? You got to get the plow to move. That's the only how you plow the field. Mm-hmm. Number one thing you need to do is have a plan and act on that plan going into the new year. If you choose to wait until the new year, which I hope you do not, plan and act.
Plan and act. I love that. Plan and act.
That's amazing. And it kind of like leads me into that next question, because we plan, we can act, but then by February, Valentine's Day roll around, people start taking vacation, and then we fall off, right? So I guess my next question is what are three ways that people can remain committed? Like what? And I guess, because I feel like you kind of explained it, but are there any affirmation words? Are there any tools that you can tell yourself when you start teetering in that space of like going back to old habits?
So I would say the first plan of action is to actually find an accountability group, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that be through finding a group fitness class, because right now there are a lot of classes online virtually. There's some that are free, there's some that are paid. That helps hold you accountable, so you have a structure in terms of action. So you show up 3 days a week, 2 days a week, you pay in advance, you know you're not going to waste your money. Yeah. So that helps keep you accountable. You find a personal trainer like myself, or something like myself. You find a personal trainer and you ensure that there is somebody externally helping hold you accountable, right? Because oftentimes if we leave it up to ourselves, we're okay letting down ourselves. We're not always okay letting down other people, right? Especially if you paid in advance, right? And you know, money's tight. Then it helps keep you encouraged. You have guidance. And again, sometimes that external motivator is what keeps you going, because oftentimes what happens is people start off the new year and it's like they have all these go hard or go home, right? I want you to abandon that. Start small, right? Be realistic. Know where you're starting from. Mm-hmm. Stop thinking that you can replicate what you see on Instagram, right? That's not necessary. Stick to the basics. Mm-hmm. Start slow. And again, going back to the talk of having a plan, have a plan laid out, and your plan should be at minimum 6 weeks, because that's when you start seeing the difference, right? Whether it's you're looking at weight loss, whether you're looking at strength gains, whether you're looking at endurance gains, you have to give yourself at least 6 weeks. Mm. So lay that plan out for 6 weeks and check those boxes off every day you're able to take that action that you had set for that day.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's amazing advice in how to approach like that journey, right? Like plan and I'm like, I have some sound bites already. Plan and act. It takes 6 weeks before you start to see results. Starting slow. Forget the no, like go hard and go home. What I'm hearing is that was key. Accountability. Yeah. I don't be like,
because I have that now. Like I realized that, and it definitely was from you and Coach Max. I was struggling with the spreadsheet, right? Like actually tanking and putting my food and really quantifying like what am I taking down every single day. Mm-hmm. But I started to do research because I was like, man, I don't have the money to pay out of my pocket, but I do have insurance. Mm-hmm. So I started doing my research, and I through my insurance, I'm able to get a dietitian. So I have a dietitian. I've been working with her for the last 2 weeks, and I've been super conscious. So we meet every Wednesday, every single week. In fact, I don't even know how much she's charging me. I know my insurance is being worked, and it definitely keeps me accountable. I'm thinking about my food. Mm-hmm. And also what it's been doing is like it's been supporting us, both of us, with how we spend on shopping.
Yes.
So I definitely agree to that accountability part. Yeah,
definitely important.
Because one of the things that having either a personal trainer or an instructor, a group fitness instructor, what it helps with is there's this cycle in business. So I'm in finance full time, and I do fitness on the side, which helps towards my mission of keeping fitness like affordable, right? Because mm-hmm. if I rely on fitness for paying my rent, I couldn't charge the prices that I charge. Right? So one of the things that we learn is process improvement, right? So you want to plan, right? You want to lay a plan out. You want to act on that plan, right? And then you want to cycle back and say, okay, based on the actions that I've taken and the plan that I set out, what's working, what's not working, right? And then you want to reevaluate. So you plan to act and change, right? So then you edit the things that you need to edit, and then you keep that cycle going. And that's the only how you get to improvement and you get to growth and that success that you're looking for. Like with you seeing your dietitian, I'm sure every time you meet, she's checking to see, okay, what did you do last week? How have you been feeling? Are you meeting these metrics? You must have measurable objectives. Like I posted like this little video that I saw about having measurable objectives, and it's absolutely important, whether it's your checking every couple of weeks to see if your inches lost or if you've gone up in weights on your barbell or dumbbell or whatever the case may be. Have you lost pounds on the scale? Are you sleeping better? Are you eating better? Are you going to the bathroom more regularly? Like, what are your checkpoints to ensure that you are on the right course? Those are the things that you need to think about in building this plan, right? Wow. So your goals and you make sure you can measure it, make sure you're checking in at a certain time. You got to make sure it's realistic, right? You know, no matter what. And I always say, we can do the same exercises, we can do the same right? We have the same number of days a week, we will never look the same.
Yeah.
Right? So be realistic about if you have aesthetic goals, what you're going to look like, because oftentimes we aim to look like, I want her body and I want his body. Like, not realistic, right? So you gotta, again, start off from that point where you're seeing things for what they are, and it allows for less disappointment when you're not seeing the
things. I'm like, ooh.
It makes me think about that picture. Did you see that picture we had on our refrigerator? Yeah, I think you commented. We had a picture of a couple.
Yes, and they were our fitness goals. I was like, I ain't never gonna look like that.
We gotta take that picture down.
I don't even have that body type, that frame. Her booty like 10 times bigger than mine. Like, it just wouldn't work for me. So you're right. Let's start with some realistic.
He had
goals.
Like a 42-pack.
He did. He was just like.
Old pictures, put those up. Those are your goals. Your own body's your own goals, right?
Absolutely.
I love that. Put my old pictures up. That's right. That's true. I love that. I just wanted to talk about, too, so you mentioned so many things in terms of taking measurable steps, making sure the things that you do, you planning, you're acting, measuring, also important. But at the foundation of that, you know, in fitness and everything, as we're approaching this, the mind plays such a huge role in the process. Yep. So as we're strengthening kind of like our physical body, what are 2 to 3 mindset strengthening tips that you could give to people to help them as they are approaching this fitness journey?
I had 3 things that came to mind, and I'm not too sure if it falls into the mind realm, but again, I'm going to go back to being realistic, right? you have to take an honest look at where you are, where you're starting from, and where you want to go. Right? Because a lot of times we tend to fall off because we are disappointed in the lack of, quote unquote, lack of progress that we see. So you want to ensure that you're starting from a realistic place. If we're talking about weight loss, and then I guess it goes into the mind because you're thinking about avoiding disappointment. And that's one of the things that kind of derails people from their goals, right? They're doing work, 2 weeks in, I haven't lost the 30 pounds in the 2 weeks that I thought. It's not realistic. So if you are realistic, right, you understand that typically, depending on how much weight you have to lose, the average amount of weight you're going to lose every week is 1.5 to 2 pounds a week, right? So in the second week, you should not expect to lose 30 pounds. Right. So one, that helps with the disappointment, right? So starting from a realistic place. The second thing is do what you enjoy, right? And find balance, right? A lot of times people are trying to force like this square peg into this round hole, right? They feel as though, oh, I have to do what this other person is doing, even though I hate it, right? Find the thing that you enjoy doing, whether it's yoga, whether it's just walking in the park. Walking is underestimated. Get up, get dressed, walk outside, take a couple laps or whatever you have the time to do. And if that's what's going to get you moving, then that's what you do. Find balance in it. Don't try to be too lean towards too much to one side. And that also applies to nutrition, right? You want to find balance in what you're taking in. You want to make sure that every so often you're having the foods that you enjoy, because then you go through these restrict and binge cycles, right? You restrict, 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 and then you get a whiff or a smell or a taste of something, you can't stop. And it's because you've been restricting yourself for this very long period of time. So you want to find balance in the things that you do and in the things that you eat. And then perfection is not the goal. Right. So you never want to, you want to let go. There's this book that I have called The Perfection Detox. And it talks about letting go of this idea that we have to be perfect in every single aspect of our lives. Right. The goal is progress. The goal is, you know, consistency. The goal is showing up. Right. It's not about being perfect, because perfection does not exist. Right. So if you kind of think about those three things, that can set you up for a more a long-term or longer lasting journey.
Wow. That is awesome. You dropped some jewels. We got some zingers in there.
Like, first of all, I might need a copy of that book. You know, I'm a recovering perfectionist. So, you know, any tools to help me stay on track, I will definitely appreciate the perfection detox. I love it. But yeah, I'm hearing so many things, and you're probably, you know, you've covered so much already, but I'm thinking about if you were to give one mantra or quote that you really want our listeners and people who are starting this fitness journey, and I ain't even gonna say our listeners, us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We over there like, y'all need to hear this. No, we all need to hear this. A mantra or just a quote or something that you want to leave with us as we are taking account into our fitness goals. And I'm going to scratch the whole new year part as our fitness goals that can start tomorrow.
Period.
One word, act, right? Act. That's it. You don't need anything fluffy. You don't need anything cute. Act. You can't. You can have all these, what's some of the favorites out there, you know, sweat is fat crying and all these things. Just act, right? Plan and act. That's it.
Who said sweat is fat crying? They need to be shot.
Listen to Instagram. Listen, Instagram will give you all of that. Plan and act. Okay, so plan and act. You know, and one of the things that I feel like so far there's been a thread in this approach to the new year has been getting, it's about getting back to the basics. Right?
And doing it now.
Yeah. And right, like intention about doing it right now. No need to wait for this grandiose occasion. Just start. Plan and act.
Plan and act. Because you can sit there and think about, you can lay it out, you can do a million vision boards, but if you don't lay out the steps that you need to take to get to that you know, to manifest that vision, so to speak, then you're just like dreaming, right? And hoping and wishing and wanting. But if you're not doing, you're nowhere close to getting that goal, mm-hmm. right? I'm very big on smart planning. Like I'm big on it. It's like, I do it every so often and I do it very loosely. But when it comes to my clients, I try to stress it. It's like, you want to think about, you want to make sure like the things that you're saying, you're very specific, not, hey, I want to be healthy. You want to be healthy, how, mm-hmm. right? Because when you think about the how, right, that's where it forces you to think about what your action is, mm-hmm. right? So I want to be stronger. I want to be able to lift. I want to be able to deadlift. Like one of my goals a couple of years ago was to be able to deadlift 300, right? Yes. I am 55 pounds away from that goal, wow. right? So it's like, okay, what is my action? Okay, my action is I'm going to deadlift 3 days a week. And every other session, I'm going to increase my weight by 2.5 pounds, right? So it forces me to check in to make sure I am following this plan, because this plan is what's going to get me to this end goal, right? So you want to ensure that you have these measurable things. You want to ensure that, you know, again, realistic, because I gave myself like 6 months to do it. So you got to get that loop in, that check-in loop, where if you make that plan and you're taking these steps, that you also now checking in with yourself to make sure that you are taking these steps that you said that you would. And if you find it hard to do it on your own, I used to be that person, was like, no, I don't need anybody. I can do this fitness thing by myself. And once I had that experience with Beachbody and I did that whole group fitness program, it was like, oh my God, group fitness is transforming, right? I want to be a group fitness instructor. I can see how it can change people's lives by helping, one, again, empowerment, holding people accountable. You have encouragement. You see, you have people where it's relatable. You see people going through the same thing. So you don't feel as alone, right? You're not the only one dealing or struggling with food. You're not the only one struggling with being consistent. And you can talk and uplift each other, right? You build this community. So, that's it.
I love yeah. that. So that you dropped the bomb on us today, girl. So you know, first of all, we want to thank you for taking the time and vibing with us and kind of like giving our listeners this information.
Absolutely, it's taken.
Yes.
Come on this damn podcast.
So. Y'all heard that? She's like, I've been wanting to get on this damn podcast.
So tell everybody where they can find you at and how they can follow you.
Oh, so I can be found on one Instagram at Project Shed LLC. You can find me on Facebook at Project Shed LLC. You can find me on the World Wide Web, Al Gore's internet at www.projectshedllc. And yeah, you can sign up for my group fitness classes. You can sign up for one-on-one training. I do them in person if you're in Brooklyn, or I do them virtually if you're not in Brooklyn, or even if you are in Brooklyn and don't want to meet because of COVID. We can set up some Google Meet sessions. And then I also have these cute little sweatshirts.
Very cute.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, girl. Like, I need to reach out to you because I know my schedule has changed and I haven't been able to make any of the group fitness classes. So I'm thinking about doing some in person, I guess, one-on-one or virtual one-on-ones, because I need to get it together.
And I'll continue to watch on all right, on Zoom.
You are terrible. He always watches me. You're like, oh, babe, you're not doing it right. Oh, babe. He always has something to say from the background instead of jumping in.
You have taken definitely a big first step, because one of the things, like, sometimes it's hard to like manage two different tracks at the same time, whether you're managing the track of your fitness and working out and managing your food, right? So if you've decided to focus on this one thing and give that one thing your all and your attention, then great. Once you've gotten that under control and it feels more like, okay, this is a little bit smoother sailing, then you can start working on the next thing, because you never want to, and that's another tip for everybody going into either the new year or the new day, is that you never want to overwhelm yourself doing too much too soon. Start slow, take small little action steps that you can manage on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, And then once you get that one or two things out of under control, then you can start adding things, right? You don't want to overwhelm yourself and be, you know, a master of all. Jack of all trades, master.
Barry, that's great a job, really- babe. Great thank job. You, You're doing great thank with you. The food.
Well, Joe. We got our financial matters person, Tisha, getting ready to come up. So we just want to say thank you for giving us your words of wisdom and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. This has been a wealth of information. We appreciate you, love you, and thank you for joining us.
Always great to see you guys, too.
Awesome. Love you. Peace. Have a great night. Beanie. Oh, Beanie's good.
Later.
All right, girl. See you soon.
Bye. All right, bye-bye.
That was real.
That was so good. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but are you hearing some common threads in how we should be approaching this new year? It seems like a very back to basics approach.
Yeah, so we got to keep this thing going. We got our financial matters guru getting ready to come in the room. She is super amazing. I've had the privilege of working with Shatisha Steffens in education the first time I met her with the Lee organization. But since she has evolved in her work and teaching people, and now it's not only through education policy, it's through finances and finances.
Right.
That's right, because you're going to get your money right. Listen. Everything else will fall apart. Right. You know, it's crazy. I seen something with some psychologists. They talked about how finances affect people mentally and emotionally. A lot of times people like to deny that, but they said that a large percentage of people who are dealing with financial struggles actually show up and have depression and anxiety and all of these different things. So it is a direct correlation to how we operate mentally and emotionally. So with that being said, we got the expert of all experts.
Yes, welcome, Shatisha. We are really excited to have you. And we're talking about the new year, girl.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of Dating My Best Friend podcast with the Bashes. I'm excited to get started and let's talk about something that I'm super passionate about. Hopefully I can leave some gems with people to, you know, get them ready for 2021.
Absolutely. Word. Absolutely. I know Barry gave a bit of an introduction, but you know, it's nothing like introducing yourself and letting people in the world know who you are from your point of view. So if you can share a little bit about yourself, your work and your area of expertise.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So as Barry mentioned, my name is Shatisha Stevens. I am the founder and CEO of Financial Matters. I am a Brooklyn native, and my company is all about financial literacy and educating people to move to action in their finances. I do a lot of work with communities, with schools, with other organizations, just partnering to bring the importance around financial literacy across a variety of different topics, right? Like, we don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And as you know, our culture is so far behind that it really starts with the foundational piece of educating people. So I'm super passionate about just speaking to people about finances, answering any questions people may have, and just really getting people excited about building that generational wealth.
Dope, man. Awesome. And I like the fact that you... you know, you don't just give tips, like you're creating an educational platform because that I think that that's important. Like there's one, there's the awareness that you need to do something about your finances. But that other piece where it's like I'm educated, like I have a discipline in understanding what my money is doing, what I'm doing with my money and what I should be doing with my money.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot of people don't have that. So I guess that kind of like leads us into the next question. Mm-hmm. You know, genuinely, you know, it's the new year and the thread has been in the first two great conversations that we had. It's just like, listen, don't worry about 2021. Act now. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question is like what, give us like five steps into like a person setting their financial goals as they are revamping how they deal with their finances.
Of course, absolutely. So I want people to get rid of the notion of trying to get rich overnight, right? Or trying to build wealth overnight. It does not happen that way. I think people really need to get clear on their why. Why do you want to get out of debt? Why do you want to save X amount of money? Why do you want to buy that purchase? Your why is what drives you. If you're not clear on that, there's no way you're going to be able to create and sustain the goals that you want to put forth. So that's my number one. Be clear on your why. Then the second thing is identify your short-term and long-term goals. So there are things that's going to take you longer, 2 to 5 years, and there's things that you can get done in 6 months. People want that, you know, big bang, I want to save $1 million in 1 year. That doesn't happen, right? Right. So we want people to get realistic about what's possible. And only you would know that because you know your financial situation. You know how much money you're bringing in. You know how much you can realistically save. You know all of that good stuff. I would say the third thing is put timelines to it, because people say like a lot of pie in the sky things like, oh, I want to do this. But if you don't put it on paper, if you don't put a date behind it, you're not going to action towards it, right? Like, you're not really going to take it seriously. So you want to get committed to, like, I declare I'm going to save $10,000 by X amount of time, because then now it's at the forefront, right? And you're constantly checking to see, like, how am I making progress? What am I doing? The next thing is track your progress. Because people say we write goals on paper, right? And then we don't go back to see how we're doing against it. And I think that sometimes people can't course correct when they do fall off track, because that happens, right? People get sidetracked, unexpected things happen that are outside of our control, which doesn't mean that the goal won't get met. It just means that it might take a little longer. But if you're not tracking your progress and you don't really know how you're doing, then you can't, you know, you can't course correct and you can't adjust accordingly. So I like to tell people to give themselves grace when it comes to finances, right? Finances is an intimate thing. It's something that requires you to be very sensitive in terms of what's happening, because people like finances are like politics. We don't like to talk about it.
Ooh, it's not that's something the truth, that we, girl. Ooh.
Yeah. And if you think about like how we grew up in a household, we only knew what the things that our parents told us, what we saw on media. And oftentimes we heard, I can't afford that. Or you don't need that. Or we saw the glamorization of like materialistic things and not the generational wealth of like, okay, my father has a house that's going to be passed down to me. I can pass that down on to my kids. We didn't have that. Right. Wow. So we're trying to normalize that for ourselves now, which I always tell people, give yourself grace. The best thing you can do is educate yourself.
Wow. Ooh. That is so powerful. You're so right. There's a lot of things that just didn't happen in the household, just conversations that weren't had, especially among our culture. And so the grace part is important, because, you know, like that, when you have that feeling of feeling like, oh, I'm behind on things, you feel like you need to speed up, rush it. But it is something that absolutely does take time. So thank you so much for sharing that.
And we're taught to, like, get the good job, go to school. But I don't, like, thinking about the things that you're saying, I don't ever remember my parents saying, all right, this is how you save. It's just like, oh, save your money. Like, it's always been blanket because we don't necessarily have the education to teach our children or even ourselves how to, like, make this thing applicable, like make it work consistently. So, yeah, absolutely, man. That was some stuff you dropped.
I know. I'm like, my notes, I'm like, okay.
I know, right?
And she was like, you saw me hide my face when she was just like, no, people don't like talking about finances. I'd be like, oh, God, we got to talk about this right now.
This one here?
We gotta be like, Jesus. Babe. He'd be like, babe,
we got to
talk
down.
About this. And I'm like,
she'd be like, when I wake up. Every you time we're going to talk about finance, she would take a nap.
You know what it is, too? And it's like, because, you know, I'm the spender. And so when you're the spender, you'd be like, wait, don't tell me that I can't have blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
You
know?
But
exactly.
One of the things you also said that really stood out to me that I think is really important that I'm really going to take with me is, like, why? Right? Like, why did I make that purchase? Because sometimes I'll find myself, I'll have stuff, and I'm like, I didn't even know I got that. How did that money get over there?
No, it requires you to be conscious, right? Because sometimes we spend money just because we have it. And then we also tell ourselves, like, oh, I work hard. I deserve this.
Yes.
Which I don't think that there's anything wrong with buying yourself nice things. You got to have a healthy balance, right? You got to know when you can buy things versus when you are sacrificing because you got something bigger and better that you're trying to achieve, right?
So.
and knowing how to pivot between those two things.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think, and I know we got to go to the next question, but one of the things that's coming up for me is I'm always like saving. I want to save. I want to make sure I got this money, but I don't know why. And I feel like that is when I end up spending it again, because it's okay to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I experience you saying, it's okay to have like a goal to save the money for the house. And then once you get the house, you're going to have the goal to save the money for a car. And it's just keep having goals for the money because the money needs to be utilized.
Right.
But if you don't have that goal, then you're going to kind of like save up and then you're going to spend it frivolously again. Right.
Exactly. And I always tell people, like, your why is, like, for instance, when I think about my why, I want to live life on my own terms. I want to have financial freedom to the point where if I decided that I wanted to not work, right, and a corporate job, then I can walk away from that knowing that my bills are going to be paid. I'm not going to be stressed. I can still maintain the lifestyle that I have. I want to be able to pass on things to my kids so they don't have to worry about, like, well, how am I going to do this? Or how am I going to do that? Like, they are, because if you think about people who don't look like us, they have everything handed to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And we don't give our kids that opportunity. We don't give them that privilege, right? And it's not fair. So it's like that mindset of just really thinking about, like, okay, what do I have to do differently? Because it's not about me anymore, right? Yes. Like, I could spend you know, all the money in the world, but what does that get me?
Thinking beyond yourself.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off.
That's okay. I was gonna say thinking beyond yourself. And one of the things that you said too is like, we often tend to tell our kids like, work for it, you know, because we have this like idea that because we work for it, they have to work for it. Where I think it takes definitely a mindset shift to say, no, I worked hard for this so that the next generation can have their own level of access.
Or build from it.
Exactly. And I think as generationally, we need to really shift that kind of process where it's like, well, I work hard for this, or you're going to have to work hard for it too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or, and just simply having a conversation with your kids about the difference between needs and wants, because a lot of the things that they want, a lot of the things that they're asking for is not stuff, it's not necessity.
Right.
Right. So you can say, oh, you want this thing, we can save for it. I'll show you how. Because they can get money from their birthday, they can get money from whatever, and then you teach them how to, you know, put money away for them so that they can get that thing. But you're allowing them to see the process rather than just stripping away from them, like, you don't need that, we can afford that. Right. Because that stays in their mind. And then when they grow up, right, they're like, oh, let me get all of the things that I couldn't get when I was younger.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good.
That is. I'm like, you know, because we have a little one on the way, and I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, this is a good idea, a good approach. I'm like, because the kid's going to ask for stuff. That's just what they do.
Yeah.
Right? And so instead of saying, no, we can't get that right now, no, we can't afford it, okay, let's have a plan together of how we're going to accommodate and just get that thing.
Yeah.
That is super powerful. I do want to jump into our next question. So, like, you know, one of the things you had said earlier is about learning how to shift and pivot as you're kind of taking inventory. So, you know, 2020, this year has brought
hell
stuff. Everybody that knows somebody that knows somebody went through something or the other. And so, you know, it has brought on so many challenges, job loss, like shifts in income, one person household, you know, two income households shifting to one income, things like that.
Yeah.
So like, what advice as you are approaching this financial conversation and topic of when we can really shift our financial trajectory, what do you say, and what advice do you have people who's hit financial hardship to kind of push them and propel them forward?
So I definitely have been talking a lot about this topic, right? Because people are just trying to understand the new state of being for them if they've experienced any of the things that you mentioned. And I always say the very first thing is to make sure that your basic needs are met. Right? Because health is wealth. And we don't want people getting so consumed with like, oh my gosh, I'm not able to save. Oh my gosh, I'm not able to pay debt, that they forget about what's important. Because I think if 2020 hasn't told us anything, it told us where we need to focus, right? And then the second thing is really to have a plan, right? So if you lost your job, if you are now having reduced income, if you, you know, had to take a pay cut, come up with a strategy to figure out how you're going to supplement that, whether you got a side hustle, whether you're starting a business, whether you're looking for a job that you can work remotely. That's the main goal, right? Like, is to figure out how to bridge that gap. And then the third thing would be to start off small. Don't just try to jump back into things where you left off, because we know that it's gonna take a while for you to get back in the rhythm. So start off small, whether that's with saving, whether that's with investing, whether that's with paying down debt. Don't just feel like, oh my gosh, I was saving, you know, $500 before and now I'm not able to, right? Mm-hmm. Something is better than nothing, mm-hmm. but I always say that you know the relationship with your money. Mm-hmm. And you know, you have to be in control to tell your money where it's going. Mm-hmm. And only, you know your situation. So if your basic needs are being met and all you have left is to, you know, get you food for the next go round, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Because you know that things are going to change, right? We can't beat ourselves up about things that we don't have control over. So I always tell people, make sure if it's an income problem, you find ways to supplement that income, whether you start in a business, hustle, because there's so many, like, people are being so creative during this time right Absolutely. Now that we have no excuses, yeah. right? Yeah. If you have a spend too much problem where you say, I don't have enough, you got to cut your expenses. Right? People are cutting off cable. They are not reducing eating out a lot. They're limiting their shopping. They're giving themselves allowances. There are so many different things that you could do. But if you don't know what the problem is, you yeah. can't tackle it. Mm. So. Okay.
That's dope. So, you know, you have like an amazing book, journal that you've created. Mm-hmm. And those of y'all, I'm going to throw the plug, go to Financial Matters on IG. Yeah. And I love the book, and I kind of like was going through some of the stuff that I seen on Instagram, and it really talked about like debt. So yeah. if you can, give some tips for people, especially Sally May be on a lot of our Ooh, young professionals
that
back.
Heifer. Yeah. Can't stand that heifer.
You know, I think Sally May in a medical bill is probably the worst two things you could get, and then there's car tickets, but... You know, when it comes to debt, and how you get people to approach that in the journal mm-hmm. that people can buy, what are some tips that you can offer for individuals?
Absolutely. So I would say debt is not always bad, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. There is a lot of people who don't look like us, who are using credit to their advantage, mm-hmm. where they are getting free cars, free trips, all of these things through points, wow. but they're being strategic about how they use credit cards. Mm-hmm. I find that people who look like us, we rack up consumer debt by just buying things and, you know, that are of things that we don't need, yeah. you know? So whether we're buying things at Saks and Nordstrom's, like we're just spending just to spend, and we leave the balances on there. And we accumulate debt, which that's that burden of feeling like, oh my gosh, I have this thing on my back and I have to rob Peter to pay Paul, right? So I say that a good credit is something that allows you to continue building wealth. So that's a business loan, that's a mortgage. You know, they consider student loans good debt too, because it's like, oh, you're getting your mortgage. I mean, you're getting your degree so that way you can make money. And with student loans, they don't go away. You would have, even if you file bankruptcy, that's just something that's debt that do not go away. But there's a lot of programs now where people can do repayment plans based on their income. They give you a long time to pay it back. There's loan forgiveness depending on the field that you're in. So you have to really like educate yourself. I would say that if you are someone who is in debt, and you just feel like, I can't take this no more. I don't want to do it. Create a plan. I always tell people, list out all the debt that you have. Mm-hmm. You want to know who the creditor is, how much you owe, what's the APR, and then you can come up with a plan to tackle it. People usually pay the lowest balance first. Mm-hmm. So you start with something that's like, okay, you owe 5,000, you know, 1,000, 3,000. You start with the one that's, you know, 500, and then you knock that down, and then you go to the one that's 1,000. Because once you see, for me, I like to see progress. Mm-hmm. If I feel like something is taking me too long, I'm going to get like frustrated. Mm. So, or you can do it the other way where you like, oh, this car has this piece of debt has the highest APR and I'm paying them too much money in interest. So now I'm going to knock that one off first and then work my way down. Right. So it takes time, but you got to have a plan. Mm. And I say, realistically, I've seen people like I paid off $23,000 in 12 months. That took a lot of sacrifice, right? Yeah. I mean, like some days eating oodles and noodles, some days, you know, just sitting things out because that's how disciplined and committed that I was because I didn't like the fact of I was not in control of my money.
Yeah.
And I wanted to free up my disposable income so that I can invest and I can feel like, oh, I have this extra $1,000 a month. Let me figure out what I want to do with this. Mm. Rather than, oh, I automatically got to pay this car note. Right. I automatically pay this student loan. I automatically got to pay these, you know, credit cards that I've had for years. Mm-hmm. And I've never, you know, went without a credit card, without having a balance on a credit card. So it was just things like that. So it was my why that drove me. I didn't like that feeling. And now I'm not saying I don't use my credit cards, but I'm very much more strategic and intentional about the things that I buy. And when I do buy it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to pay that off in full. Right. I'm not going to accumulate a balance because we know that these companies are making money off of us. Mm-hmm. Right. Like we, us as, you know, African-Americans, we have the highest, debt to income ratio, which is why we can't get houses. Mm-hmm. And we can't qualify for mortgages. We have the highest consumer debt because again, people are trying to keep up with the Joneses and just spend. And we really have to ask ourselves what is important, right? Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
Absolutely.
And I think that's the thing that grounds people in shifting their relationship with their money for sure.
Wow. That is so powerful. So many tools and tips that you just shared. I'm hearing so many things like, you know, giving yourself grace, like understanding your debt to income ratio, making sure that, you know, you tackle your debt in a way that's smart. If you aren't able to tackle the debt in that particular way, giving yourself grace and starting off with the basics, making sure your basic needs are met, because that in and of itself like helps with your sanity so that you can then tackle the next thing. So you have shared so many gems and jewels as we approach tackling our finances. But before we end out, I did want to just have you share with everyone where they can find you, some of the tools that you offer, so that they can, you know, tap into the resources that you have and the education that you provide. Exactly. So that we can do better as a people and, you know, really put some things into place for the legacy that we're continuing to build.
Sure. Yes. So if you're on social media, you can follow me at financialmatters_. Tons of free tips. And be sure to check out my website, financialmatters.llc.com. Go to free resources. There's budget templates. There's debt templates. There's net worth templates. We didn't even touch on net worth. And just look out for my ebooks, my classes, everything that I'm pushing forward for next year, preparing for the upcoming tax season, really looking to serve our people and make sure that, you know, we have a healthy financial journey.
That's amazing. Perfect. She said it best.
Yes. I'm like, we might have to have Shatisha on for like a financial information.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
going forward.
Like when she said all the things that she has, I'm like, I'm about to go download that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thing, even though I'm scared.
We're actually going to plan an event in 2021 where we kind of like bring all of these elements together around personal development, finance, and fitness, like how people can kind of like stay healthy in all three of those areas. Yeah. So we definitely, you know, we're going to be calling on you.
We're going to call you, girl.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So listen, I know as Tish. Tish, listen, enjoy your day. And we want to say thank you for, you know, spending time with us today on the podcast.
We really
appreciate you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Awesome. No problem. Thank you so later. Much. Have a great evening.
See you later.
Bye.
Wow. So
what a show. So much information.
Mm-hmm. We was actually going to get into talking about like relationships, Tamara,
this was enough. Like,
yeah, we filled
we're
it.
Full. Like this, our cup overfloweth. I think this is more than enough information.
Absolutely.
Maybe we can do it in a candid conversation or something.
Yeah,
can,
absolutely.
But like this was so full in and of itself.
Yeah, and what's said is said. Sometimes you gotta, you don't need to elaborate on what was already kind of like stated.
Exactly.
So yeah, man, this is.
Hope y'all took your notes.
Yeah, you better and you know play back because I feel like all three of those dynamic sisters left us with nuggets, jewels. I mean, all the rubies that you can get.
Absolutely.
When it comes to like healthy. Understanding about all three of those areas is amazing.
Ooh. All right, so this is our last show of 2020. Congratulations to us.
Yeah, season ending. High five. We did what we did, folks.
You know, we did good. Thank you for rocking out with us this entire time.
Yes.
And we really appreciate having you all be with us on our life's journey. You know, two souls trying to figure it out, y'all.
And you know what's dope before we kind of like end out. And you just said it, like, you guys have been with us, and we learn from you. You learn from us. We learn from the people that we bring on. And we are experts in our own right. We both have expertise in the work that we do. But it is an amazing feeling when you can create a space that you can get poured, like, people can pour into you and what you're doing. And I will say, and I guess I can speak for both of us, both me and Shantini, when we have the show, we always get perspective, and it allows us to navigate a healthy relationship personally or together. So
both personally and what
together. It's check ourselves.
Absolutely, just things that we've learned over the course of this time. So we thank you all for joining us. We thank our guests for being here and imparting their knowledge and being willing to just be open, vulnerable, and sharing.
Love y'all.
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah, we really love
y'all.
The Bash fam. Like,
Beanie love y'all too.
Yeah. Chase love y'all.
I know.
Amil be watching, so you know, shout out to the whole
this is
Bash
weird.
Fam. Yeah.
I don't
like, right,
it
we're
to
really
be
ending
over.
Out. Like, this is crazy. I didn't expect for this feeling to happen.
I know.
But,
like, wait.
Yes,
yeah,
it's coming
the
to an
show
end
the
for the season. Season two is down. But you know,
we'll be back. Yeah, you know, yeah. We'll be back.
We'll still be doing our candid conversation every Friday.
Find us. Follow us.
I'm trying to drag Shantini to do this Clubhouse thing, so we might create a room in Clubhouse and things like that. But listen, continue to follow the Instagram page. Continue to
subscribe
to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. We need your support, and we'll be dropping the YouTube page in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
So we want you guys to subscribe to that because we could build a bigger platform with you. Means that we can support a whole bunch of people and look out for that event.
We have merch coming. There's a lot of things coming in 2021. So there was a reason behind why we had this year review and prepping in for the new year season. So thank you guys.
And shout out to Brick House Studios.
Yes. Man, it's been amazing.
D Blaze, D King, Donald, the whole team.
All of y'all.
They have been phenomenally like taking care of us and making sure that we're good. And with that being said, we're out of here.
Peace out, guys. Love you.